Adams Family Ministry. She's a published author. But I don't want to just speak of her accolades. I want to speak about her character. And I am in the unique position to do so. Thursday night, Pastor Jennifer spoke on Deborah. And I have the privilege of growing up underneath a mother who took her position, my very own Deborah. Yes, whose prayers filled the house, who's traversed, who's labored in faith through some of the most challenging seasons of life, and who has come out purified. Amen. So I just want you to receive her with a huge clap. Minister Deborah Adams.
God's going to give what he wants to give. He's going to have me hold back what he wants to hold back. And we're all going to be blessed, right? Okay, I'm going to use this little table. I'm just going to spread out here. So, y'all are witnessing a first. And you're witnessing something that's been prayed for. I won't tell how old she is, but when Danielle was born, and I had a little girl after two boys, I began to intercede and say, someday we will share the platform.
Woo, come on! Come on!
Today is the day! Hallelujah! Danielle, I'm just going to ask you to do the timer for me. That's not going to work. I know I'm using my time. I'm sorry. I have to get my cheaters. This started 5 years ago. Y'all that are laughing, just keep on living. They look good, so there you go. Okay. All right, Father. Father, we worship you. We could leave right now, Father, and you have met us here. And we thank you for that. But Lord, I know you have a word in this season, for this conference, for this house, for those that are here. And I say yes to be in your vessel to deliver this word, articulate it in the way that you want it delivered, open the hearts so that it is received. And we know as you do that through your anointing, the action will come. And we give you glory and honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like I'm moving in here.
Come on now.
Before I start with the actual message, there's a few things that I need to do. One is, where's our dancer? Dancer, right here with the flags. Yes. As you were dancing, you can go ahead and stand up here. As you were dancing, your flags began to go in a figure eight, right? A figure eight is infinity. 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 And I want you to know that as she was waving, the breath of God was breathing and waving his love over you. And it reaches to infinity, which means there is not stop. Do not let anyone hold you back, but do it all unto him, because he has a way that he is using you in that ministry that no one else is using. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. All right, then the other thing is pastors. You have stepped in to this new place cautiously, prayerfully, but I want you to know that as Pastor was speaking, the Lord reminded me of something that my husband and I say to each other and publicly all the time, because you're right, the anointing is attractive, right? He is your anointing protector. She is your anointing protector. House of God, these two have an anointing that is protected by one another, but by the Most High God, and dare not the devil come in and mess with that. All right? So protect and protect, because you're right. She has a long way. It's cool. It's going to be good. All right. And then I did want to share, and I know that Pastor Lisa was not able to be here tonight, but I did want to share with you, who all was here last night? All right, remember the part of the service where she had us all stand up and we held hands with one another? And we were praying, because we need to start a culture of prayer. That was her message, right? Okay. So as I was laying this morning, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord showed me what that prayer was doing. And that prayer was tilling the ground. Tilling the ground, all right? But there are two types of seeds that were being planted. The first is just a seed like we know it, like a sunflower seed, a flower seed, an annual seed. We till the ground, we plant the seed, we water the seed, the plant comes up, it blooms, and it dies, right? Those are short-term prayers that you have been waiting on, okay? That's what you were tilling the ground for last time. There's some of you that, you know, they're just things that you need. You need them right now, and once you get them, you will be able to move on to something else. You've been praying for those things. God says they are coming. But then there, praise the Lord, give them hands. But then there was another type of seed. There's the bulb, all right? The bulb is planted, and the bulb is planted. We till the ground, we plant the bulb, we water. It grows, it blooms, it dies back, but the root is still there. It grows again. It dies back. The seed, the bulb is still there. The root is still there. Those are the long-term prayers that you have been waiting on, and they are coming to pass. And when they come to pass, they may rise, and if you see them leave, do not lose heart, because they will rise again. He is doing it for you, but keep up cultivating your prayer. Okay, praise the Lord. So far we have had Pastor Inez taking us right to the juggler at the first night with soul ties. Thank you so very much. Got rid of some garbage. Thank you. Then we had Pastor Jennifer, who was encouraging us to be a Deborah, and I appreciate that message so very much. Then we had Pastor Lisa, who was talking to us about creating a culture of prayer. And then we have Prophetess Teresa, bless you for what you taught last night regarding faith, hanging on, persevering, don't let go, and allowing faith to keep going.
Amen.
So our conference, Empowerment, Identity, and Unlocking, the Lord wants to share a word with you tonight about winning the battle against identity theft.
Wow.
Okay?
Right.
That's good.
So, we're going to start, because you can't start talking about identity until you begin at the beginning, and that is Genesis 1:26. All right? And that says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So as a child of God, we have been created to have dominion on this earth. That is our identity. And the Bible says that long before he laid earth's foundation, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole, holy, and by his love. So here we have the Trinity. Long before they created the oceans, the skies, the stars, the sun, the moon, and all the land that goes with it. Who was on their mind? You. You, me. We were on their mind, and we were on their mind from a focus of love. He chose us to be the ones to impart his very own being and breath of life into. We are his identity, his image. Yes. But what does that mean, to be an image of something? If you're a copy, you're an exact replica. You put something on the copy machine, you run it, you pick it up, and it looks exactly like that piece of paper that you had as the master. Right. All right? Yes. But natural man can never copy the supernatural of the Father without the Father present. Right? So he couldn't copy. What he did is he created an image. And an image means to represent, to resemble, likeness, and impression. An image is something new that's been created to represent the original. So we were created new to represent the Godhead. That is who we are.
Amen.
So, even in that, though, there's a limitation. Because I can't fully represent the Godhead in just Deborah. I can't do that. But if you add Deborah, and you add Pastor, and you add Prophetess, and you add, you know, Cherie, and you add everybody else in the body of Christ, we have a replication of the Trinity's love, of the Trinity's acceptance, of the Trinity's gifts within that. And that's what he wants. I think that this conference is such an excellent example of how the body is to work together. We have all come, we didn't know very many people that were ministering, really. We came down, had never talked to some of the pastor or some of the ministers at all. We didn't know what each other were ministering on at all. We had a title. We had our Father, though, that knew how to loop and thread everything together, right? So we've had power, we've had tears, we've had straight direction and correction. You know, we've had these things. And that is how the body of Christ is to work with that. So it's really a collective sum of his oneness. That was the word that the Lord gave me about this. It is, we are a collective sum of his oneness. As an image, though, we must identify and we must understand the character of who we are representing, right? So we're going to start right there. And I would like you to stand up while we do this part, please. I'm going to use, because we would be here all night talking about who God is. We could be here for months. But I'm going to use the names of God, and I'm going to use the character of God, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to understand that this is who lives inside of you and has freely allowed you to share with the world. Adonai, the Lord, the great God. God is master, majestic. God with all total authority. El Elyon, the God most high, supreme, king of the universe, sovereign, in whom we can put our trust. All powerful, El Elyon, Elohim, all powerful, the God who is all powerful, creator of the universe, the one who knows all, creates all, and is everywhere, always, all faithful. Yahweh, Jehovah, the I Am, the self-existent one, the Lord, the eternal one, the one who exists, who never changes, who is always faithful, who is holy, who is just, who is a hater of sin. Are you a hater of sin? El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all-sufficient one, the giver of blessings, God all-powerful, all-sufficient, and therefore can handle every single one of your concerns. That's who lives inside of you. That is part of your identity. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. He has met our need for a Savior through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. He takes us and He cleans us up. That is who we represent, a holy God. We are set apart. We are a chosen people. We are cleaned up from our sin, and He is helping us to mature. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, our banner of victory. We have authority that gives us victory over all our human nature, our flesh, the world, and the devil. That's who lives inside of you. That's who your identity is. The Lord who heals, Jehovah Rapha. God restores, strengthens, heals, provides a final cure. A final cure for spiritual, physical, and emotional sickness. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. He cares, He protects, He guides, He leads, and He directs His people. Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord of hosts. God is faithful with His plans. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. You are not here by mistake. You are not here by chance. You are not here as an afterthought. You are not here because somebody made a mistake. You are here because God has a plan for your life. It is a plan for good. It is to give you a hope and a future, and it will not be denied. Do not allow the enemy to steal this identity from you. Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. He has given us peace. He's given us peace with Him. He's given us peace in all situations. He's given us peace from our enemies, both external and internal. We're going to talk about the internal. The Lord is here. He's your companion. He's with you all the time. He lives inside of you. He is always present. There is no limitation. He loves you. He loves you. And Jehovah's the canoe. He is the Lord of righteousness. Always, in all circumstances, God thinks and acts in a way that is just and right and good. That is who you are. That is who you have been made in the image of. Nothing else, and don't let anyone else lie to you about that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So as I was going over this, you can be seated. As I was going over this and I was thinking about my own life, and I'm like, okay, well, why don't we live from that position all the time? That should be our perspective. That should be the, when I walk out of the house in the morning, I should be carrying the victor all the time. I shouldn't be slumped down. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, it's such a bad day. No, I should be walking with my head high, my shoulders back. I have the victory in Christ. It should not be any other way. But even within the body of Christ, we see it. Even in my own life, I've struggled with some of those things. And so there is an identity thief out there. And he's tricky. And there's something about that scripture that sometimes we forget to use, and that he comes for no other reason. That is the only reason the enemy walks into your life, is because he wants to steal your identity. He wants to kill your identity. He wants to destroy your identity, because if he can destroy who you are in Christ, then he can destroy those that you would influence and the destiny that you have. And he separates you from the Father. And the Father said, nobody can pull you out of my hand. Nobody can pull you out of my hand. But we have to be aware. We have to be aware of his devices.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on.
I get excited. So, God is good. So, I decided to look at some people in the Bible who's had their identities stolen. And I cracked up when God said, look at Lucifer. Because isn't it just like God? He's going to take the one that is trying to destroy us, and he's going to use our enemy as our example. Therefore, we get the victory by looking at our enemy. I just think that's the coolest thing. So, we're going to look at Ezekiel. And we're going to talk about the enemy a little bit. Lucifer, bright and morning star. You were sealed with perfection, says the Lord about Lucifer. Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the turquoise, the sapphire, the emerald, all with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and your pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you, said the Lord. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in all of your ways from the day you were created, until iniquity was found in you. How lovely was Lucifer. All those stones that are mentioned, they are the most precious and most valuable stones that we have here on earth. They are the strongest stones that we have here on earth. God did not use granite like he used to build the mountains. He didn't use river rocks that is like on the bottom of our rivers. He took the stones that are made from something common as coal, but under pressure are created into these gorgeous, valuable stones of many, many hues. And then he covered Lucifer with that, and then used gold to hold it all together. And then in amongst that, he gives him all of his own worship instruments. He gave him his gifting. He gave him the ability to do what he had called him to do. Right? So what happened? I mean, if, you know, God does that for us. He creates us. We've been created in the image of God. We heard all of that that we have done. He has equipped us. He's called us for a purpose. But he doesn't call us for a purpose without giving us the resources and the tools and the gifts to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what he did with Lucifer. He gave him everything he needed to be this leading cherub. And how did Lucifer respond? He responded in arrogance. He responded in dissatisfaction. He responded in told God, I know better than you what I should be doing. Because he wanted to exalt himself above God. He wanted the worship. And he took a third of the angels and he convinced them that he had something for them that God was not already providing. And they followed him. So I want you to think about your own life. I want you to think about the times, because we've all done this at some time or another, when we have been dissatisfied with what it is God wants us to do. You were just saying it, Pastor. I say yes, go clean the bathroom. I say maybe later, you know? But that's what that is. It's dissatisfaction with what God, our Creator, our Father, our Savior, is calling us and telling us to do. He's given us gifts to use. But we're not satisfied with the ministry and the way he also wants to use it.
Come on.
And so what happens then is we begin to compare.
Yeah.
Now, in my home, I have a daughter who can sing the vocal cords off of heaven, if you ask me, okay? I have two sons who can also sing. I have a husband who is a praise and worship leader at our church. Okay? Now, you don't want to stand next to me during praise and worship, because I'm going to sing and I'm going to worship, but it's kind of one of those things I really should be doing in private. Okay? I can't carry a chicken in a bucket. So when we first were getting together and people were asking me to sing, we're going to be a family of worshipers. Oh my gosh, do you know my husband had them turn the microphone down on my mic? It's true. It's like back there signaling. Like this. Did I want that gift? Yes. Did I want it so bad that I began to complain? Yes, I did. And I had to repent. I had to repent before God. And I had to tell him, now you have given me a gift of gab, okay? Obviously, it's not to carry a tune. So, help me to see what the gifting is, what it is you would like me to do with this. How can I be a part of your work in this world? Okay? And then I will say yes to that. So, they all sing, and I'm the choir at home. But the Lord is faithful, and he uses the gift that he has given to me in the way that he sees fit, because I have people of influence in my life that they do not have. And those people are not going to be impressed with vocals. They're going to be needing a word. They might need this Bible. Where is it? Sorry, it's right down there. The Bible, okay? And that I can give them. They might need solid counsel. That I can give them. All right? So it's a matter of understanding who God created you to be. Identifying your gifts, not coveting somebody else's gift. And I'm telling you, I was telling Danielle as we were preparing that I feel like this is almost a hard word, right? But God wants us set free. He doesn't want us carrying this burden of I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like Sister so-and-so. I want to minister like Prophetess Teresa. I want to pray like Pastor Lisa. No, he's already got a Pastor Lisa. He's got a Prophetess Teresa. He's got a Pastor Jennifer. He's got a Daniel Renee. He doesn't need a duplication of asking? All right, perfect. So how do we, once we've identified what these giftings are, how do we know how to move forward in them?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about spending time and hearing the voice of God. It's all about that.
That's right.
It's all about finding a shepherd that's going to do the same for you that Pastor Marty has done for Danielle. He saw a gift in my daughter. He saw a gift that I knew was there, but I was not in the position to be able to draw it out in the same capacity that he did or does. He's opened the door so she can teach. He's opened the door. Last night, the ministry that went forth last night, beautiful, prophetic song of God, right? Thank you. Thank you. Because you see your gifts, you see the gifts in your children, you see these things. But we need people to come alongside and help us.
Amen.
They have to be people that you're going to trust. That are trustworthy. They have to have the character of God within them. They can't be exalting people on a platform because it might draw people to their church, for example. Or it might draw people to a meeting if we have so-and-so come in. I am so
good. Say that.
August 28th, 1982. We have been Bible college, several churches, on staff. We've done all of that. And I have seen so many people, lives destroyed, walk away from God because somebody else told them what their gifting was. And they didn't and hadn't sought God for themselves. They were not confident in that for themselves. So when they were told by a person that they admired, a person that was in leadership, a person, they were then put into a position that they were not equipped for. And then came the frustration. And then came the fall away. And then came nobody there to restore. Too many are going through that. So I just implore you, seek the face of God for yourself. Know who you are in Christ. Know your gifting. Spend time with the Father, the anointing. We experience here, but it can be experienced at home. It should be experienced at home. It should be experienced in your car. It should be experienced on your job. It should be there because he's there. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He never goes away. He's always present. Ask him. If you don't know, ask him. He'll tell you. My goodness, he's waiting for us. Step in to what he needs us to do. Don't allow the enemy to steal your identity because you're looking at glitter and glamour. You're looking at other people. You're looking at the easy way. You're holding on to your own life instead of saying, yes, Lord. Allow him the privilege of releasing your gifts because the world needs you. The body of Christ needs you. I need you. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. Don't let your identity be stolen.